It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, thank you, Rachel. Atamarie.
Atamarie. Hey, it is a big couple of topics we've got to talk about this morning. We're going to chat a little bit about Ihu Mātou because there's been some developments there. We're also going to talk a little bit about waste in Auckland and illegal dumping, and a little bit as well about South Auckland and something that you've said about it being neglected since the super city was formed. Let's start by talking about Ihu Mātou, though, because that's a big topic, especially since there has been speculation or perhaps discussion that perhaps the Crown might lend the money to Auckland Council to buy the land at Ihu Mātou. Is there any truth in this speculation, Phil?
Well, I think it is mainly speculation. The Crown is trying to find a way through the dispute that will satisfy all parties, and that understandably is quite a hard task. I don't think it will be a case of the council accepting a loan to buy the land. I'm not sure that that solves the problem. And I'm not sure that it's the council's responsibility to enter into a loan that might be $40 million to settle a dispute that the council is obviously an interested party in, but not directly involved in. I think what the government is doing is exploring a range of different options, and of course Heritage New Zealand is looking at whether they will extend the Heritage Park classification from Otuatoa Stonefields to cover a wider area. I mean, what council has done so far is, first of all, it some years ago purchased Otuatoa and made it into a reserve, recognising the significant historic, cultural heritage and geological value of that area. And more recently, in the last few months, it has rezoned an area adjacent to Ihu Mātou, known as the Rennie Block, to protect that as public open space in perpetuity. Mm. But the dispute is actually over another 32 hectares, I think it is, of land owned by Fletchers. And the challenge the Crown has is that the Waitangi process, settlement process, does not involve land that is privately owned. And the Ihu Mātou block is privately owned, previously by the Wallace family, now by Fletchers. And if they create a new precedent in this area, then that could lead to a series of much wider and very, very expensive claims around the country. And understandably, they're being very cautious about how they deal with that. At the same time, there is the potential for this area, which is the oldest area of human habitation in Tamaki Makaurau, to become a special area, which would be a regional park, and celebrating, you know, particularly those areas already covered by Otuatoa, which are historically, culturally and geologically really important.
I'm quite interested in this conversation because something that's come out of this is that mana whenua at Ihu Mātou have said that they're disappointed about this discussion that perhaps the government might lend the money to council, and they sort of feel like they've found out about it through the grapevine, I believe is the quote I've got here. Do you think this means that we're still in a process where the communication isn't necessarily as good as it could be?
I think we're in a process where the Crown is trying to work through with all of the parties a solution to the problem. And, you know, it was media speculation that said, look, the big thing was, government was going to loan money to council to buy the land. I don't believe that that will be the outcome, and I don't believe that that will be the option that is chosen, partly because the council's already constricted in its borrowing ability because it's close to its debt-to-revenue ratio, and were we to enter into that, that would have major implications for, you know, that would be $40 million worth of other infrastructure we could not borrow money to put in place. So I don't think mana whenua should be upset about the fact that the media run a headline that says, council to borrow money. That was speculative. There are a series of options that the Crown are working through, and I know that the Crown is now in the process through its appointed team of talking to groups. They talked to council recently, they're talking to mana whenua, they'll be talking to Fletchers, and they'll be looking at all of those options to find whether there is an area around which you can develop a consensus.
Well, let's talk a little bit now about some of the other topics we've got, because there's a few big ones this morning.
Yep.
So you've said that the crackdown on illegal dumping in Auckland has failed. What do you mean by that?
I haven't said that at all. I'm saying that exactly the opposite. There is a councillor who, for reasons best known to himself, has made that allegation. But what we've seen since I put emphasis on the crackdown on dumping and provided extra resources for things like compliance staff and closed circuit television cameras and more prosecutions, we've seen 544 infringement notices issued. We've seen 6 prosecutions. Now, to put that in context, we've seen more fines in the 2 years since this process started, less than 2 years, than we saw in the 4 or 5 years previous to that. And we've trebled the number of prosecutions. And later today, there will be an announcement of a further prosecution, which involves a considerable sum of money for a company that illegally dumped wastewater into the Faux River. We've had, and that's you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in fines there. What we've found as a result of our crackdown is that we have we've got an 0800 number. We're getting more public reports. We're acting more quickly, and we're finding less dumped rubbish. And that includes Manukau, which is probably the worst area where we've got rubbish dumping. But we are seeing a response to that. And you know, for the councillor to say, "Oh, because they've stopped it," my opponent in the last election said, "We've stopped inorganic collections." We haven't. You simply need to book them online, and you need to keep the rubbish to be collected inside your gate where that's possible. And that stops, you know, remember what it used to be like in the old days, where there'd just be masses of rubbish spilling out over the street, people coming down and scavenging through it, smashing, as it happened in my place, an aluminium door, smashing all the glass out of it to retrieve the aluminium. That sort of thing has stopped, and we're now working to make sure that more people know about the inorganic collections. Most people do, but we're trying to lift the level, because those are free for people and we want people to take advantage of them. But we don't want to see the mess that the old style of collection used to make, where people just dumped stuff that wasn't meant to be out in the inorganic collection, like tyres and chemicals and stuff like that. We now have a much more ordered procedure, and we have a much tougher crackdown. And the people dumping the rubbish are not simply people, as some try to point out, they just can't afford to take it to a transfer station. Most of our prosecutions actually involve commercial companies that just could dump the rubbish because it's cheaper to dump it on the side of the road and leave council to clean it up, and that's what we're really cracking down on.
Well, let's talk a little bit, let's talk a little bit now about South Auckland, because this is another thing that's popped up in the news recently, that it's perhaps been neglected since the super city formed. What's this about, and how are we going to rectify this?
Yeah, I mean, again, that was the headline in Stuff, which didn't really reflect. If you read the article, you'll see clearly what I'm saying there. I'm saying that South Auckland clearly is an area of economic disadvantage. It's where there are higher rates of unemployment, lower rates of educational achievement, lower levels of income, more people struggling to deal with things like housing costs, because housing costs are such a high percentage of their income. And we need to respond to that. And some of that response can be from council, where we're doing things like through the Southern Initiative, to when we have major building projects such as the Manukau bus transfer station, we say to the contracting company, as part of the procurement process, we want you to employ some people that are currently out of work. We want you to provide the training for them and trade skills, and we want you to employ them. And that's been incredibly successful. We are doing, the critical issue in South Auckland, I think, is housing. And we're working closely with government to increase the number of social houses that are being built. And that number will be the highest in probably 20 or 30 years, this year, next year, and the following year. It still won't be enough. We need to do more. We are ensuring that we are investing in our transport services, such as the Puanui interchange, so the rail, the bus station connection, and that will mean a congestion-free bus lane from the Puanui rail station to the airport. We're looking at spending we've got in the Auckland Transport Alignment Project, $500 million to develop Mill Road as an alternative arterial route. We want a third main trunk line from the south into the city, and with CRL we'll double the capacity of the rail line to get people to their place of work without being caught up in congestion. So there's a lot happening there, but what we want to ensure is that we've got an inclusive city, because you can't have a city where you know one part of the city is privileged and really well off, and another part kids don't get the same chances in life. Mm-hmm. And working with government, we want to try to equalise that situation so that everybody has opportunity, so that everybody can realise their full potential.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. We always appreciate it every Tuesday. It's great to chat to you. And we'll
speak. Thanks, Rachel. And we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Yes, we'll speak to you again then. Thank you.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
It was.